report from ABC News Gunfire at Chiefs Rally. I'm Daria Albinger. Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas says it's becoming all too common.
We had over 800 officers there, staffed, situated all around Union Station today. We had security in any number of places, eyes on top of buildings and beyond. And there still is a risk to people.
His comments on the shooting today as the celebration from the Super Bowl champion Chiefs was coming to an end. At least one person is dead, more than 20 injured. Police Chief Stacey Graves.
We do have three persons detained and under investigation for today's incident.
The NFL issuing a statement that says in part their thoughts are with the victims and everyone affected and that they are grateful for the quick and thorough response of law enforcement and emergency personnel. The Gun Violence Archive says today's mass shooting, the 47th of the year. This is ABC News. Bill Post has died. If his name isn't familiar to you, you probably know what he's famous for.
Most of us aren't old enough to remember a time when there weren't.
Kellogg's Pop-Tarts.
The man credited by many for inventing Pop-Tarts, Bill Post, has died. He headed up the bakery production for Keebler back in 1964 when Kellogg's called looking for a quick breakfast item that was toastable.
Look at that sweet frosting and filling.
Well, his team came up with the idea of two sheets of dough with fruit filling in between. They tried perfecting it with some frosting, which didn't melt, and bingo, they had a winner. Bill Post from Grand Rapids, Michigan was 96. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Lawmakers in at least six states are considering longer prison sentences or bigger fines for suspects who harm or kill police dogs. Real estate data firm CoStar Group is moving its headquarters from Washington, D.C. to Northern Virginia, a move that will bring roughly 650 jobs to the state. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
African-American soldiers have participated in every major U.S. war, but often served with only black troops. The 1948 President Harry Truman signed an executive order that integrated the United States Armed Forces following the end of World War II. This action supported the rights of black soldiers and is still considered one of the earliest signs of desegregation. Today, more than 30% of the military is black. Listen for more black history stories here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are handing Governor Evers his own legislative map's proposal to sign into law. Evers' map's bill passed the state legislature yesterday. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Today is the end of a long, expensive journey for the taxpayers of Wisconsin. We don't need to have this lawsuit continue. We actually get to, by voting yes, say that we now stop.
If Evers signs the maps into law, it would effectively end the maps case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Absentee ballot envelopes that include a house number and street name will be accepted this year, even if they're missing a city, state, or zip code. The Wisconsin Elections Commission sent the word to local election clerks on Friday after a Dane County judge's ruling last month. The judge said the old rules were inconsistent. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
Badgers get a win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Wisconsin Badgers snapped a four-game losing streak by beating Ohio State 62-54. Stephen Krall, A.J. Storr, each with double-doubles in scoring and rebounding. The Marquette Golden Eagles with a win on the road at Butler 78-72. Marquette ranked fourth in the nation. The Bucks losing again, this time at home against the Miami Heat. The final 123-97. That's the third time this season the Bucks have lost by 20 points or more, the second since Doc Rivers took over as head coach. Baseball in Arizona. Some teams reporting on this Valentine's Day. The Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy, has pitchers and catchers reporting tomorrow. After Freddy Peralta, who else has left?
We lost Burns and Woodruff, and Wade Miley, the cagey veteran, this guy's real comfortable out in that circle, and he impacts other people. I think we're going to be competitive.
That's the Brewers' new manager, Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some rain showers this evening, becoming all snow showers overnight, an inch or two of accumulation, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, early clouds, then some sunshine for the afternoon, a high in the low 30s. Upper 20s again on Friday and partly sunny, 30s for the weekend. It's 42 right now.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting from Civic Media Global Headquarters on State Street, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Welcome to Nightlight. Our new revamped studio here looks very cozy. It's perfect for Valentine's Day. Although it's just me and Conrad here. But it still looks nice. This is Valentine's Day. It's a very exciting day. Very exciting day for young lovers, couples who have been together for a long time. Hope you're having a great day so far. And I hope the expectations aren't too high. It's tough. When you're like, I've been married a long time. You always have to kind of raise the bar. And even when you do that thing beforehand, when you say, you know what, let's just take it easy this year. We got kids. Let's focus on them. And then one of you breaks the vow and gets a Valentine for the other or some cool gift. That's not fair. But it is Valentine's Day. It's very exciting. We are broadcasting live statewide from downtown Green Bay here at City Deck Landing in WGBW. Great to have you with me, keeping me company. You're all my Valentines today. And I don't mean that in a weird way. It's great to have you. We have a great show tonight. And a lot to get to. My guests tonight are Doug Heim and Jorge Reyna. Jorge hosts Mad Unity on Civic Media, which is on, incidentally, right after this show. It's almost like we're pulling a Super Bowl thing, like, hey, Rob Lowe's here at the Super Bowl. Oh, and he has a new show premiering right after. What are the odds? But Jorge's a great guy. He's going to be here talking about Mad Unity. If you haven't heard it yet, give it a listen. Doug Heim is an author and a Green Bay guy through and through, and he wrote a book that is on Amazon about his career and all the cool stuff he has done and what he's been able to do from right here in Green Bay. So we'll talk to Doug at 7:35. He'll be in studio. That's always exciting. Conrad is here, ready to take your texts and calls.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, buddy. Did you do anything special today?
Well, actually, I got you a gift.
Come on.
You're always talking about, you know, going on shows with the people we have performing in here.
Yeah.
So I got you a new pair of leg warmers.
You got me a new pair of leg warmers?
I did.
Wow. I mean, I don't want to be overly critical, but this is the warmest winter. Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you, buddy.
Of course.
New leg warmers. And you know what I got you?
What'd you give me?
A new pad of memos. Blank slate.
That's just what I needed.
They're off to the race, kid.
All of my pads are already filled out, so I needed some new ones.
God forbid we actually follow through on any of these memos, but it's nice to take them. Hey, we got a big show tonight. As I mentioned, Doug Heim will be here. I unearthed an old interview I did with Taylor Swift years ago when she was 20 years old. Coincidentally, on this day in 2010 when she was filming a movie called Valentine's Day, directed by Gary Marshall. Julia Roberts is one of the many stars. It's kind of an ensemble cast. Kind of went right in the toilet. It did not get good reviews. I think it was like at a 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. But Taylor was in that movie at 20 years old, and she was, you know, pretty good actor. So I unearthed an interview I did with her years and years ago. We'll play that a little later in the show, maybe around 9:20-ish, 8:20-ish, sorry. I'm still not used to the new time. We switched our hours. We're on from 7 to 9 now. So it's still night light. We just don't need quite as much light because it's not quite as night. But light, night light is still essential. So we'll play that a little later, too. That's a clip. And some foreshadowing. Taylor has definitely evolved. So I'll just tease you guys with that. Some big birthdays today, too. This is, I don't usually talk about negative showbiz stuff unless I'm making a joke, but there was a really horrible thing. This is Vic Morrow's birthday. He was an actor, a very accomplished actor. He died in 1982. He was shooting a John Landis movie called The Twilight Zone. And he had two young kids in the scene with him, and they were trying to escape. They were stuck in the Twilight Zone, and a helicopter during shooting crashed, killing all three, the two kids and Vic Morrow. Vic Morrow was decapitated by one of the blades. So he died an absolutely public, horrible death. And the whole production got sued. John Landis actually at the time, this was only 1982. Steven Spielberg was not quite yet Steven Spielberg. He had had some hits, obviously, but so did John Landis. They were considered sort of competitors for the throne to be the biggest director in Hollywood. And John Landis was on that track with Steven Spielberg until he directed Twilight Zone. And these three people, two young kids, died. And Vic Morrow died in horrible fashion as well. There were lawsuits. The movie eventually did see the light of day, but I didn't know this, but when I was refreshing my memory on this film in which Vic Morrow died, it said one of the people who sued the production was his daughter, Jennifer Jason Leigh, who I did not know she was Vic Morrow's daughter. She of Fast Times at Ridgemont High fame, and she was on the most recent season of Fargo, and she was excellent. I didn't recognize her. I think she's had some work done, like so many actors do. But, yeah, so they got a huge settlement, obviously. But a very tragic story. But it is Vic Morrow's birthday today. And John Landis did rebound from that, but his career was sort of sidetracked. He directed some films, but nothing like, I want to say he directed Stripes. But anyway. But that's a Hollywood horror story, really. And I used to know more about that story and how they proceeded with the movie, because that was fascinating too, but it's been a while. Hey, since it is, oh my gosh, and it's Pat O'Brien's birthday today too, 76. Okay, for those of you that don't know, Pat O'Brien was one of the most famous anchor people in America. He hosted he did sports. I think he cut his chops in sports. Then he segued into those like Hollywood magazine shows that can be so nauseating. And he had a bit of a substance problem, which is not funny. And I don't mean to make light. There have been nights when I've had too much to drink in my life. But Pat famously left voicemails on a woman's voice recorder, and they're just, I can't even repeat the words he said. They're so filthy. The things he said he wanted to do to her. Sexual in nature. And it was one of those things, like when it came out, I had to play it over and over. I could not believe another human being. And he didn't even know the woman. And I think the woman made the recordings public. And then he went to rehab and he got himself together. But wow. That is, and it just shows you too, in this country, if you mess up, as long as it's nothing horrible, like with kids or, you know, killing someone horribly, you can come back. Because Pat O'Brien made the rounds. He was on Dr. Phil and he was on all these talk shows making his comeback. They had high ratings, but man, you could not, that, what a horrible thing to go through. We have a clip of that, don't we, Conrad?
Yeah, we do.
We have, okay, so here's the deal. I couldn't even find the original voice recordings. They used to be all over the place. And I looked for them because we were going to edit them. I found a couple of them. You can't even edit. It's all swear words. This guy swore for 2 minutes straight talking about what he wanted to do to this woman. And he was in like this coked up stupor. So I thought, you know, I can't even use this if I wanted to. So we let Conan O'Brien do the heavy lifting and address the situation. And we'll play that now.
We have so much to talk about tonight. First of all, as some of you may have heard, Pat O'Brien, one of the hosts of The Insider, checked himself into rehab a couple of weeks back because of an alcohol problem. And we wish him well, of course. But some people have speculated that O'Brien only went into rehab in the first place to distract people from an embarrassing situation. You're probably aware of this. You see, O'Brien apparently left some very sexually explicit messages on a female coworker's voicemail. And some of the messages were put on the internet, and people have been listening to them now for weeks. And, well, anyway, now that Pat is finally out of rehab, he says he's a whole new man. He wants to make amends for all of his inappropriate behavior. I just wanted to take a second and wish you well, Pat. Hello?
Conan, Pat O'Brien from The Insider.
Hey, yeah, Pat, we were just talking about you. We're glad to hear you're out of rehab and feeling good.
I'm feeling great, Conan, and I want to apologize for those dirty phone messages I left for my coworker. I was way out of line.
Well, it's all in the past now, Pat.
That's right. I'm turning over a whole new leaf. And after I turn that leaf over, I want to turn you over.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to turn you over and spank your hot butt with my...
Oh, my God! I'm hanging up.
Wait, don't hang up. I had a little relapse there. It won't happen again.
Well, Pat, I'm shocked. I thought you put all that stuff behind you.
I will put it behind me. But first, I want to put you behind me. Because you're so hot.
Oh, my.
Then I'll call my girlfriend into the room and you all can right, pull out good. Your and I'll shove a big.
Oh, man. What Pat O'Brien said on the actual recording was so much worse. It's so funny. And, that's Conan O'Brien. Conan O'Brien is such a great writer. Hey, great writers, too, on his show. Jimmy Pardo, who's been on the show before, was his opening act. It was fun to have Jimmy on telling Conan stories, but such a great show and a great writer. We got some text here. I didn't even say what our question of the night is yet, Conrad. Do you believe that?
I can't believe that.
All right, so here we go. It's Valentine's Day. Can we get a little love music onto this? Maybe Love Boat?
Yeah,
let's do something while I read the question of the day, because this is really going to motivate people to text in. We want to hear from people tonight on Valentine's Day. So there we go. You all remember the Love Boat, right? No, this is Love American Style. That's fine, too. This was a show in the 70s. Love American Style. It's like people swinging and married people dating. And I saw this as a kid. It was like worse than seeing an adult film because I was like, is that how married people behave? Crazy. Tonight's question, who is your celebrity Valentine? Let us know. The Nightlight question of the night, who is your celebrity Valentine? 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Who is your celebrity Valentine? It doesn't have to be weird or even romantic. Just someone you like and you'd like to be your Valentine. That's our question tonight. And we got a couple texts already and we will read those. Next, we're going to talk about, you know what we're going to talk about? Young Sheldon and the Ferris wheel and Silence of the Lambs. That's up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
All day I've been thinking about you, baby, my one desire. Gonna wrap my arms around you and hold you close to me. Oh, baby, I want to taste your lips, I want to be a fantasy. Yeah.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common sense investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
tons of glass artists share the same passion for eye-catching art as Ignite Glass and Gifts. So we're showcasing their work alongside our talented local artists and our in-house Ignite artists. The latest techniques, the hottest colors, and mind-blowing designs are here for you to enjoy. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts. Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and O'Dana Road. Plus, IgniteGlassandGifts.com. Do your eyes a favor and see this stuff.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe, your host. Celebrating Valentine's Day with you on this lovely evening. Another day in the 40s. Unbelievable. Oh, boy. So, Conrad, what would you do? What would your ideal date be?
My ideal date would
be... If you had a girlfriend right now, and you filled out that profile last night. We had that love expert yes, here. I hope you did that. Okay. What would you do? How would you try to knock her socks off? And I don't mean that literally.
Well, I got to say... I'd go to a basketball game.
Okay.
Or some, basketball game probably.
Is this a bro date or is this an actual girl you'd be taking to the basketball game?
Either or, you know.
Find yourself a girl who plays basketball. There you go.
Yeah.
You're all set. That's a good time. So we got a couple texts here. Steven, this is from Steven Thomas, watching on the stream. Hey, Steven. It says, hello, Pete. This is Steven from Green Bay. Love your show and your 60-second news bits. Oh, thank you, Steven. Yeah, we do the 60-second entertainment beats. We do three a day, and they play in the Civic Media newscast on the website, too. So those are really fun to do. Thank you for thanks for the text, Steven. I hope you keep listening. I should say, too, if you want to text the show and answer our question, which is, who is your celebrity Valentine, you can also do that on the app. The Civic Media app is so easy to use. We're on statewide, so you just click on any station, and there's a little icon that says text right there. So you can let us know what you're thinking about anything we're talking about tonight or any show. Papa Rico says, hey, Steve and Rico here. Oh, they're having their own conversation. Conrad, how do you like that?
That's awesome.
Papa Rico says, Nicole Kidman. You know, there are some, this is so crazy. Okay. I'm going to pontificate here because we all have our celebrity crushes. I have many because I've watched tons of movies. There are some guys who Nicole Kidman is just it. Sandra Bullock, same way. They just, I don't know what it is about these women, these two women in particular that, or actors in particular, maybe it's an acting quality. But when sometimes you meet a guy who is like fixated on those two women, they have these incredibly intense fan bases. Maybe not the biggest fan bases. Maybe not like Julia Roberts big or, you know, Katy Perry. I don't even know. I'm pulling these out of nowhere, but they are so intense. Papa Rico, I'm going to ask you, what is it about Nicole Kidman? I mean, she's very pretty, obviously, but elaborate if you would. I'm curious. Who is your celebrity crush? Let us know. You can text 844-967-PARTY or on the app. So we talked about Pat O'Brien, a little bit about Vic Morrow. This is an interesting fun fact, and I'm going to nerd out here for a second because I read the book The Devil in the White City, and aside from it being a very good book, there was some really interesting, it's not even historical fiction. It's just the writer, and his name escapes me at the moment, wrote about how Daniel Burnham built the World's Fair in Chicago, 1893. And the whole time there was this, maybe the most prolific serial killer in American history was killing people, like at an alarming rate. And I think in the 1800s, it was just easier, whatever. They didn't catch the guy for a long time. However, while this World's Fair was being built and this killing was going on, the people that were designing the World's Fair, and Daniel Burnham was an incredible architect, and he's the one who said, make no little plans. He always wanted to aim high. He designed this great park system in Chicago. kind of, I think, I want to say he designed the grid for the city, but their whole goal and their competition was the Eiffel Tower in Paris. That had just been unveiled, I want to say, in the previous World Fair a year earlier. And they were like, how do we top the Eiffel Tower? Which is an incredible work. So they contacted a guy named Ferris from Pittsburgh. He had this new invention. They brought him to Chicago. And voila, the Ferris wheel was born. And it did not have the staying power, obviously. It was not this great monument. But the Ferris wheel lived a very long life. It's still at county fairs. And I think when they created it, people stood. You could fit like 50 people in one car. And they stood there while it went around and around. So a pretty good effort. And they built the White City, which they tore down right after the World's Fair. I think the only building left standing in Chicago, and maybe you've been there, is the Science and Industry Museum. Everything else they just torched because they didn't want to see it fall in disrepair. But anyway, that is the history of the Ferris wheel and its invention. So thank you for letting me nerd out. A couple more texts here. Okay, so Papa Rico says, Mama Rico says Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson was kind of the guy for women, especially in the 80s, like when Mad Max came out and all the Mad Max movies, Lethal Weapon, and he kind of fell off the rails a little bit, got a little crazy, said some very racist things. But I have to admit, I still watch his movies. He's a very good actor. And Mama Rico, if he's good for you, he's good for me. Good for you. And it's good that you guys have celebrity crushes and you can share those as a couple. Nicole Kidman. It sounds like the Ricos would like to double date with Nicole Kidman and Mel Gibson. That could be a fun double date. Stephen Thomas says, my celebrity crush is Selena Gomez. That's a good one.
I agree. I agree with that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, is that yours, Conrad?
No, actually, I'd say Kate McKinnon.
Kate McKinnon. You love Kate McKinnon.
I just, her comedy's too good.
It doesn't even matter. Like, she could look like Shrek.
She's just so funny.
And she's so funny, that outweighs, that's so cool. That means you're not a very shallow guy, Conrad.
Yeah.
You got deep, you got a good soul. Good for you. I hope you meet someone as funny as Kate McKinnon, who doesn't look like Shrek, if I could throw that in there. Selena Gomez is great, though. She's on Only Murders in the Building. This is interesting. When I lived in Los Angeles, we lived in an area called Valley Village, and there was a Menchie's yogurt shop. And Selena Gomez came in. She's probably, I don't know, 12, 14. I had no idea who she was. And my kids were looking over there. A couple other kids were. She had like just started with her Disney Channel fame. And you're a really cute kid. Very friendly to the other kids. I have no idea what she's like now. But that's a good one, Steven. Selena Gomez. And she's got a good sense of humor, too, because she's with Martin Short and Steve Martin on Only Murders in the Building. A show I have to go back to. I kind of gave up on that. And I don't know why. But I will revisit. Also, friend of the show and a friend of mine, Lance Barber, was on the show 3 weeks ago. He plays George Cooper on Young Sheldon. That show is starting its final season. Does that premiere tonight, Conrad?
It premieres February 15th.
February 15th.
So tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay.
Yes. And I believe at 7.
I think you're right. Yeah. And Lance had big news when he was here. He kind of talked about, it's not any secret. His character's fate on the show is kind of well known because of Big Bang Theory. They allude to what happened to young Sheldon's dad. So I think Lance is going to win an Emmy this year because he's got some really cool scenes coming up on Young Sheldon, which premieres tomorrow night. Okay. So we are off to a great start on this Valentine's Day. I hope you're having a good Valentine's Day. You got to let us know who your crush is, your celebrity crush. We want to know. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. I got to figure out who mine is. I'm going to noodle that. Coming up next, very exciting. Doug Heim is here. We're going to talk about his book. He's a Green Bay guy through and through, and we'll discuss his book next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
This is a special report from ABC News Gunfire at Chiefs Rally. I'm Daria Albinger. Kansas City Mayor Quentin Lucas says
it's becoming all too common.
We had over 800 officers there, staffed, situated all around Union Station today. We had security in any number of places, eyes on top of buildings and beyond. And there still is a risk to people.
His comments on the shooting today as the celebration from the Super Bowl champion Chiefs was coming to an end. At least one person is dead, more than 20 injured. Police Chief Stacey Graves.
We do have three persons detained and under investigation for today's incident.
The NFL issuing a statement that says in part their thoughts are with the victims and everyone affected and that they are grateful for the quick and thorough response of law enforcement and emergency personnel. The Gun Violence Archive says today's mass shooting, the 47th of the year. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A bill to cut Wisconsin income taxes by $2 billion is headed to the governor after final approval in the legislature yesterday. Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer says Governor Evers should veto it.
The GOP's tax proposals in a matter of years would drain our state's surplus and plunge Wisconsin into a fiscal deficit. Not only that, but the bills clearly benefit the wealthiest Wisconsinites.
Republicans say the state surplus should go back to the taxpayers. Children as young as 14 could work without a permit in Wisconsin under a bill that passed the legislature yesterday. The new requirements passed along party lines. More than a dozen other states have removed work permit requirements for teenagers to address the worker shortage. The bill now goes to the governor. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
988 Wisconsin Lifeline. How can I help you?
Share hope, find purpose when you become a 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselor. The 988 Wisconsin Lifeline provides free and confidential support to anyone experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis. Staffed by Family Services, 988 has experienced tremendous growth, and more statewide counselors are needed to answer calls, texts, and chats to the Lifeline. If you want to share hope and find purpose in your next job, apply now. You can work remotely from anywhere in Wisconsin. Training is provided and flexible hours are available. 988 Wisconsin Lifeline counselors enjoy competitive compensation and benefits packages. Most importantly,
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some rain showers this evening, becoming all snow showers overnight, an inch or two of accumulation, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, early clouds, then some sunshine for the afternoon, a high in the low 30s. Upper 20s again on Friday and partly sunny, 30s for the weekend. It's 42 right now.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's east side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you know there's a group focusing on the importance of the arts in Wisconsin? Create Wisconsin is a nonprofit based in Madison and trying to expand thinking about the arts and the economy.
Everybody wants their community to be vibrant and healthy and have people visit and live there. And so we try to help people figure out what they need and then we figure out how we can help them.
Ann Katz is the director of Create Wisconsin, and she says the work really took off when the group learned the Badger State is in last place when it comes to arts funding and support.
It's an investment in people, businesses, organizations, and communities. People are really hungry for that authentic, unique. Mm-hmm. That's what we try to nurture and to assist.
Learn more about Create Wisconsin and some upcoming events where you can get involved. Go to createwisconsin.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
On air at 92.7 megahertz frequency modulation and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Having some fun here on Nightlight tonight. And we got a few more texts here on the text line. The 920, Paula, Conrad's mom, says, Hugh Jackman, how does your dad feel about that, Conrad?
Well, we got to figure out his celebrity crush, so he's got to text in, too, yeah, and then we can decide.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, women, we're a little dude-heavy here, so if women want to text in and tell me who their celebrity Valentine is, that'd be great. From the 608, Laura Dern, that's a good one, great actor. Kind of like how you feel about comedy, Conrad, her acting talent propels her. I mean, again, she's beautiful too, but she's a great actor. And then from the 920, Jim from Appleton says, super crush, not just a crush, Scarlett Johansson. Jim, I might have to arm wrestle you for the honor of calling Scarlett Johansson my Valentine. I love her. She's great. She's beautiful. She's a great actor. Just outstanding. Hey, in the second hour, around 9:20, I'm going to play an interview I did with Taylor Swift from about 14 years ago. And we'll see how it stands the test of time. That's coming up at 9:20. Jorge Reyna will be here later in the second hour to talk about Mad Unity. And we're going to kind of kick off right into his show, which picks up down in Madison right after my show. Jorge's always fun to talk about. Keep those texts coming. Who is your celebrity Valentine? The number is 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. All right. It is my pleasure to welcome one of Green Bay's own here in the studio. He's an author, and he's had a very interesting career here in media in Green Bay, and we have a mutual friend, Mike Desitel. Doug Heim, welcome to the program. Nice to have you.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, you got a good voice. Wow, look at that.
Did you say you interviewed Taylor Swift? Did I hear that correctly, or correct me?
Here's the thing. Sure. We do a little comedy on this show, so I don't want to mislead people. But it is a Taylor Swift interview. That's all I'm going to say. Taylor will make an appearance. And she was only 20 when I interviewed her. And she was in a movie called Valentine's Day. So we had to play the interview today.
I love it.
Yeah, I've been around, Doug. So, Doug, welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself for listeners that might not know.
Well, lived in Green Bay all my life. Grew up 8 blocks away from Lambeau Field and never got to go to a football game.
How did that happen? Even accidentally, even if you like tripped and fell into the stadium, it seems like when you live that close.
No, we got to, as close as we got was ride our bikes up to the fence.
Okay. And it probably looked a lot different back then too.
Well, it was the 1960s.
Yeah. Wow.
So anyway, yeah, I worked for the WLUK TV 11. Okay. Which is now Fox 11.
Yeah.
And I started, actually, I got caught digging in their dumpster when I was 12 years old.
Oh, okay.
And eventually ended up going inside of the building and getting a job there, working in the basement, filing old news film, and eventually got a real job in 1972 when I was one day before my 18th birthday. And got hired to be a cameraman for the 6 and 10 o'clock newscasts, and that was my in television. And I never went to college. Like I say, I got caught digging in a dumpster, and
you know what that says when you get caught digging in a dumpster? This guy is a go-getter. He's a closer. Bring him in. Give him a sack lunch. That's pretty cool. So you all right? I'm kind of, the reason I wanted to have you on, we have a mutual friend, Mike Desitel, who also worked for Fox 11.
Yes.
Mike's a great guy. And Rachel Maddow was here a couple weeks ago.
I did see that.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So she was great. So I have fond feelings for Fox 11 is what I'm trying to say. But you wrote a book about all your experiences. Here's why that impresses me. It's hard to write a book. You're not a celebrity. You're just a guy with great stories. So to put in the time on a book when you know it's going to be an uphill battle to get it out there, How do you do that? And what was the inspiration for you to write this book? The book is called My Reality TV Show, Doug Heim's Amazing, Crazy, Unbelievable True Life Stories. Tell us where you got the motivation to do something like this. That's a big undertaking.
I guess it is a big undertaking, but I never thought of it in that regard. I just started writing these stories down. I believe, you know, it's kind of hard to remember exactly what was the beginning, but I do know that I used to tell a lot of stories back in my boating days. I would go to an island, and there'd be a bunch of other boaters there, and people that knew me would sit around the campfire and say, "Doug, tell us these stories. Tell about that one time, that wedding reception at Indy Pier, where the, you know, this and that." And so I wrote these stories down, but there was a time during the between 2010 and 2020, my wife was diagnosed with leukemia, and that entailed a lot of going to the hospital visits and doctor visits at clinics and so forth. And I always took my laptop with me, because there was a lot of times that I would be sitting waiting, and sure. I found opportunities at that time to compile it together. And then basically it was all done on Word. And when I was done writing it all, I printed it all out and I gave it to Tom Hutchinson, who was, of course, my wife was the first one to proof everything.
Yeah.
She's a wordsmith and a brilliant writer, but that's another story. But I, my manuscript was given to Tom Hutchinson, who was the general manager of TV-11 when I worked there. And he read the manuscript. He loved it, but he thought I should massage it because I had things in it that were maybe too personal. Mm. And so I went back and did some rewriting, and his sons now run a company that he started called HVS Advertising and Marketing, and they designed the cover for my book.
That's a slick-looking cover. I like the colors.
Yeah,
and
well, my credit, I didn't do it. They did it for me. They didn't charge me a penny for it.
Out of heck with them. Take all the credit. Come on, Doug.
Well,
and then, show that up on the stream in case for the people watching the book.
Sure.
Up to the camera there. It's My Reality TV Show, Doug Heim's Amazing, Crazy, Unbelievable True Life Stories. And you can we can find this on Amazon?
Anyone on the internet who's selling books.
Yeah.
Just type in my name or type in My Reality TV Show and it'll come up, along with reviews. And I'm really got to tell you, when you write a book and you publish it, it's scary because you, one, don't know if people are going to like it or not. And maybe I wrote things down that people are going to call me stupid. And there's that fear.
Oh, sure. You open yourself up, totally.
But the surprise for me is that it's been positively received. I've seen nothing but positive reviews, and I was just happy to share this. I didn't write this book to make money or be famous. I just thought if I don't write these down, they'll die when I die, these stories.
That's a really interesting thing you just said, because I have a cousin who sat down, my grandmother and her brother, when they were in their 80s, and he just put a video recorder on, and he just started talking to them. And he got them talking, and now he has hours of them just telling stories. And because you're right, those die with people. They don't get passed down, at least not how they should. So I applaud you for that. And you don't have a ton of reviews on Amazon, but it's got like 4.5 stars out of 5. That's got to make you feel good, right?
Well, of course it does. I mean, like I said earlier, if people were saying one star, you know, the guy talks like an idiot, the stories are boring, you know, there's always that fear. I said to one of the people that I worked with years ago that read the book and called me up, and I said that what I feel like is when you write a book and publish it, it's like getting naked in front of the whole world. Mm-hmm. So that everybody can really look at you for what you really are. Because in the book, I talk about my weakest time in my life. Mm. And I also, I guess, without realizing it, talked about the greatest times of my life. But anyway, my history here in Green Bay, doing TJ and the Ant,
Doing, yeah, I want to ask
doing
you.
Doing Barney's Clubhouse Pow, the Dance Machine TV show. I owned a video production company. We produced television shows and TV commercials. We did PRKs before Van Vrede's was the appliance dealership in the area.
My guest is Doug Heim. He is the author of my reality TV show, Doug Heim's Amazing, Crazy, Unbelievable True Life Stories. You can find that on Amazon or wherever you buy books, according to Doug. Doug, I want to ask you, okay, so I'm a transplant. I moved here to Northeast Wisconsin when I was 12, the Marinette area. I remember Clubhouse Pow.
Well, okay, I was going to say, yeah. What year?
79.
Okay, Barney was on the year 1981.
And it was called Barney's Clubhouse Pow?
It was Clubhouse Pow, but we called it Barney's Clubhouse okay. Pow when the puppet took over. There was a human that hosted the show before the puppet did.
Okay. So that was kind of a Green Bay institution.
Yes.
Here's what used to crack me up about that, though. You had a kid calling in, and it was like you would tell the little cursor, whatever it was, when to shoot, and then you had to shoot the video things going by, and however many you got, you won. Well, these kids... I don't think the call didn't realize that whoever's pressing the button can only press it so fast. And they would just start going, pop, 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 pop. Like,
well, you actually
thinking in volume, they have a better chance, but you sure. Can't press a button that hard.
Well, here's a fact. And actually, I do have a podcast on YouTube. I just started broadcasting in December.
Oh, cool.
And I release one every month, and it's about an hour long. And in next month's episode, I'm going to expose how Barney technically actually worked. He was
okay.
A technical puppet.
Oh, nice.
And very unique. And I was signed to secrecy that I could never tell anybody how this puppet actually worked.
For how long?
Well, till now.
The statute of limitations is finally upon us. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool. All right, so tell people how they can find your YouTube podcast.
Just go TJ and the Ant.
TJ and the Ant.
Yeah, go on YouTube. Just type in TJ and the Ant. And voila, you'll find episode 1, 2, 3 has been out there. And episode 0 is a promo I released for the upcoming show back in November.
Okay. All right, cool. So tell us about Ned the Dead, because that was on late at night on Fridays or Saturdays?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I left TV 11 in 1982.
Okay.
And I went to go work for Tom Hutchinson, who was starting HVS up, which was the home video shopper, which was a 24-hour commercial channel, which was unheard of because that was before the home shopping channels.
Jeez, how about
that? QVC and so forth. So, yeah. Well, anyway, I left the TV station shortly after TJ and the Ant went off the air. And at the same time, so did Barney's Clubhouse Pow. And while I was gone... Tom Hutchinson left the station, and that's at the same time when Steve Brenzel started the Chiller Theater.
Okay. I knew it was Chiller Theater. Okay. Yeah. I thought I got my cities mixed up, but let's talk more. Ned the Dead here in Chiller Theater. What I loved about it was, you know, usually you're having a sleepover, you got friends over, you're in eighth grade or freshman in high school, whatever. And you've got these scary movies on. Those were like the first, when I lived out west, I wrote a lot of interstitials. And that was kind of like my introduction to interstitials, like the host between the takes during the commercials. And it was just creepy enough. Like it didn't scare the living daylights out of you. You weren't sure. Scared to leave the room and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But it had this fun kind of welcoming horror feel. That's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
And you created that?
Oh, no. No. I had nothing to do with the creation of Ned the Dead.
Ned the Dead. Oh, okay.
What I created was a TJ. That everyone called me TJ, and it stood for television jock. Like,
oh, cool.
A DJ. Instead of a disc jockey, I was a television jockey. So my vision was I can run the entire TV station like a disc jockey back then used to run everything. He ran the commercials. He read the news, the weather. He ran the records. He did everything and pushed all the buttons. And I thought, well, why can't we do that with television? So that's what TJ was.
That's awesome. Well, we're both jockeys, and it's good to have you here. We got more coming up with Doug Heim. He's an author, and he's one of Green Bay's very own. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Max Inc. Radio invites you to a live concert each week over the radio. It's Live in the Lair on Max Inc. Saturday night. It's a full hour of live music and in-depth interviews with the artists. Listen across Civic Media every Saturday at 9 p.m. and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. Live in the Lair, presented by the Aaron Weber Group at movetomadison.com. Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfine. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1. On the talk you can't ignore, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Got some texts here on our question tonight. Who is your celebrity Valentine? Got some great answers so far. Personally, Scarlett Johansson is my favorite. From the 707, okay, can't believe I'm saying this, but Jason Statham. Why can't you believe? He's like a very popular guy, handsome guy, action hero. I saw him in The Beekeeper about 3 weeks ago. And as far as action movies go, 707, I loved it. So nothing wrong with Jason Statham. That's a good celebrity, Valentine. From the 404, this is Chris from Rice Lake. He says you weren't serious about that lifetime ban, were you, Christian? Conrad, do we know what that's about?
I am not sure.
We haven't banned anyone for life, have we?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, welcome back, Chris. We missed you, even though we don't know you. It's great to have you anyway. From the 707 Northwest Coast, California, Sherry. I guess that's a guy who... That's either Sherry saying she wants Jason Statham... Is that the same number as her celebrity Valentine? Yes, it is. She's identifying herself. Thank you, Sherry. There's nothing wrong. You don't have to be sheepish about Jason Statham. I'm a guy, and I wish he was my friend. It would stop there, but maybe we'd have an action adventure together. From the 920, it's about time, Steve. This is Conrad's dad weighing in. Celebrities from the original three, from Charlie's Angels. Yeah, Jacqueline Smith, Farrah Fawcett, and Kate Jackson. All right, Steve, I'm going to take this a step further. Who is your favorite angel?
Aha. Uh-huh.
You got one, Doug? Of the original three, who is your favorite?
Well, actually, I only have one favorite angel in my life.
That's your wife.
And her name is Charlene Heim, yes.
She must be listening or you wouldn't have said that, so thank you for that. I don't want to get you in trouble here, but yeah, those are great. I had the Farrah Fawcett poster in my room, spent countless hours looking at it, wondering if we were ever meant to be. From the 920, Kurt from Appleton says celebrity crush or Valentine is Becky Lynch from the WWE.
I got to say, I agree with Kurt, actually.
Do you?
I think I'm changing mine.
You're changing. You went from comedy to someone who could literally kick your butt and do stunts. Conrad, you're all over the board. All right. Let's say your wife approved, Doug.
Okay.
Of your celebrity Valentine. Who are you going with?
I mean, really?
Yeah. Well, not really. It's not going to happen. I'm just...
Boy.
You think about that. From the 920, yeah. Jim from Appleton says, I was a big fan of All Night Theater, and TJ, you kept me company many nights. My favorite was the show you did in blue screen before green screen was invented. Wow, Jim is a savvy showbiz cat. Thanks, Jim, from the 920. That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah. And like I said, these are staples. They're like Green Bay institutions.
Oh, Land
the Dead, Chiller Theater, Clubhouse Pow. And you dumpster dove to get into the mix in all these places. That's impressive.
Really, more than the book, because the book is, we started the conversation with. The book is really just nothing more than the stories of my life that I, from the time I was brought into this world, I ran into all these people at TV11. I met Stanley Siegel and Ray Wheeler and Glenn Lloyd and Bob Schultz and worked with all those guys over the years. And when I left the station, worked with Tom Hutchinson starting up his company, and I started up a mobile DJ business called The Dance Machine. That turned into a television show. And from there, I started a production company. And so I've never been able to get out of here.
You say you didn't go to college. You didn't have time to go to college.
That's, yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this. I hired two guys that went to college for editing.
Yeah.
And I hired them because they had graduated from this prestigious college. And I found out that they didn't know how the difference between an insert edit and an assemble edit, which is really the basics of editing video production.
Right.
Is you either insert an edit or you assemble.
Right.
And they didn't know the difference. And I told them, you guys should go back and get your money back from college. And I knew how did I know it? And they didn't, you know, I don't know.
Editing is like something you just have to have a good eye and make smart choices. Right. I mean, you can learn how to do it. That's obviously important, whether it's Avid or Final Cut or now it's Adobe. But
let me put it this way.
Yeah.
I'm lucky to have this natural God-given gift to be able to draw things and create things. I come up with ideas. That's part of how my career has always been, that I've been hired because, well, we don't know how to do it, but get Doug Hyman, he'll figure out a way to do it. So, and that's been my career. So I'm at now that I guess
it's a good run. You had a really good run. So tell me about this in your book or in the description of the book. Thank you for the copy, by the way. You say you claim to have invented the first lighted dance floor manufacturing company in the United States. Are you still collecting those checks?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Tell me about that. How did that happen?
Well, originally back in the 1970s, when I started the mobile DJ system up, I built a portable lighted dance floor, which was nothing more than 2x4s, some plexiglass, and colored Christmas tree lights. The lighting controller was nothing more than a keypad that I made that made the lights flash by finger pushing on these buttons. Well, that turned out to be the biggest hit of my mobile DJ service. None of the other mobile DJ businesses had a lighted dance floor. Well, years after I went out of business and I sold the DJ business back in the 1990s, somewhere around 2009, I'm sitting having a beer with an old buddy of mine, and we're talking about what are we going to do with the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, we should start up the dance machine again. I said, no, we're too old. We're 50-some years old, and besides, I don't even like the dance music anymore, so I'm not interested in that. But I did say if I was going to get back into it, I'd have a lighted dance floor like we used to have. But I'll bet you right now they're probably a dime a dozen, you know, with LED technology and all this. So for curiosity, I went on the internet, found out that all the lighted dance floors in the world were being made in China. They were very complex. And some of the floors sold for $50,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And
we got to get one put in here.
Yeah.
That would be pretty sweet. That would light up our night, Conrad.
I want to see it.
Hey, this is Doug Heim. He's going to hang. Can you hang for a bit?
All right. As long as you want me here.
We've got more with Doug Heim coming up. We might even give him our Wisconsin test or a movie test. We'll figure it out. We'll discuss it. But that's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Taylor Swift in a little while. This
Don't
is the Civic Media
away.
Radio Network.
It was only a kiss, now I'm falling asleep. And she's calling a cab while he's having a smoke. And she's taking a drag, now they're going to bed. And my stomach is sick, and it's all in my head. But she's touching his chest, now he takes off her dress. Now let me go.
Whether you're hanging out on State Street or hanging out on the lakes, thanks for listening. This is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Super Thursday edition. Donald Trump has his day in court. You better tune in 4 to 6 p.m.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus. W224 EG Madison. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.